I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Where's this guy driving down the line in a Ferrari just shooting guns out the window saying, no pussy in a blank check? I don't know what happened.
He needs to be stopped, but we just don't have the power to do it yet. The legal ability to stop him from doing it. Boys here, the internet's number one pro police state podcast returns to ensure you are complying. I am the father of justice, Peter O'Donohue, and I am joined by...
I'm a drug addict trapped in a single building, Ethan Palmer.
Here's James. I don't make the rules, but I sure follow them.
That's such a white guy thing to say to a cop. As we welcome new patron Shedrick Young to our little megacity here by the sea, I also need to thank old, possibly oldest, patron Saucy for the 2000 AD request, with backup from real-world friend of the show, Martin Proto-Liss, who was on our Fear episode like a century ago.
Jeez, there's something I do not remember.
Yeah, exactly. Back when we did collabs without clout, it was just, you want your friend who loves this game to come on? Like, sure, man. Can you make it to Jamie's basement?
I remember doing that episode. I do not remember the guest at all.
He called in from Toronto. He's not a Montreal guy. So.
Oh.
We had him on your TV. That was back pre-Zoom. We invented Zoom. And it was just, we had him in as like the conference guy.
Damn, was I even there, man? Never mind. We can look into
this
later.
The only person I can guarantee was there was Martin. Like, I have no idea. Yeah. I'm generally going to just call it Judge Dredd, because that's what we most people know it as. The actual series is called 2000 AD. If you guys want to bring up one of the covers there, it's this is an 86 copy. It's very, like, 80s camp. And I've got some panels in there to show you as well at some point, so...
I mean, it's all very, like, G.I. Joe, like shoot 'em up. And then there's one character who looks like a Who from Dr. Seuss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very strange.
I think one of these characters is called Strontium Dog. And I was really disappointed to find out that wasn't a radioactive super dog. It's one of these, like, people is Strontium.
I mean,
dog.
I really like the tiny blue gremlin with, like, the giant wrench.
Just gonna say that the little blue guy, he almost looks like a pirate down there. Look at him.
He's got a bit of the pirate hat.
I have a brief aside about that guy, actually. So but before we get into it, are you guys familiar with Judge Dredd? Have you seen Dredd, the very good action movie, or possibly the Stallone one, or by some miracle have read the comics?
I've seen Dredd.
Yeah,
I think I saw the old one. Is there another, like, robot, like,
RoboCop.
Follow the law. Yeah, well, that's pretty on the nose, but I think I remember Judge Dredd as well. Does he have like a law catchphrase or something?
He says, "I am the law."
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I have seen.
Does he have a law catchphrase? Yeah, officer, whatever. Fuck you. Hit me with the catchphrase. Yes, I am the law. It's his catchphrase. It's his slogan.
Yeah, it's like you have to read the Miranda rights. You also have to say your catchphrase, or else it's not a real arrest.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely. So I myself have seen Dredd, the action film from 2012. It's fucking great. If you want some great practical action and some great violence, it's a fantastic film. And you don't need. I didn't know there was comics. Gonna be real.
I guess that there's comics.
Yeah, exactly.
Jamie's got to check on his ribs. It's been 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm closing my door because my AC's off and the damn oven's heating up the blaze.
Oh, that's true. Fair. And your dog will get in and eat more, like, old meat.
That's right. That's right.
And I haven't seen the Stallone movie, so there is an 80s movie With Sylvester Stallone, where he plays Judge Dredd. It's notoriously bad. I know about it through the Nostalgia Critic. I've never actually seen it.
One of my best friends growing up was a huge fan.
Of the movie?
Huge fan of it. Yeah, but that's like, I wouldn't trust his opinion on movies, to be fair.
Yeah. No.
But
like, I trusted his opinion on movies as a 12-year-old. I'm not sure that his opinion didn't outgrow that, but I'm not sure that it did either. You know what I mean?
You don't want to risk that. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. He's still, you know, he might still be a 12-year-old in terms of rating movies. And he was a 12-year-old when he told me that Judge Dredd was good.
Man, probably like whatever type of movies you're into when you're 12, like that'll probably last most of your life. You know what I mean? It's like the music you liked in high school kind of stays with you forever.
I still love Lord of the Rings, right? I watched Return of the King on two VHSs 100 times, right?
I guess. I also loved, like, there's a lot of movies that I loved, which I'm sure I would not like now. Like the Italian Job reboot, I'm sure is like very mid in hindsight. Like I'm sure there's so many movies that I really love which don't hold up. You remember like SWAT with LL Cool J?
I've seen the cover.
I loved all that, like, oorah, you know, we're the military, we're the cops, obviously. Pretty leftist now.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Well, have I got a propaganda episode of this of the Lore Boys for you?
I do want to shout out Shedrick Young before thanks for joining the Patreon. Before
I had that in the script.
Well, you've been talking for friggin' 4 minutes already.
We got Judge Dredd. Yeah, don't cut the blue wire.
I did the shout out. And the other one is funny, you guys mentioned the little blue man on the cover there. That is Rogue Trooper. And that was, speaking of SWAT and things I saw at Blockbuster, Rogue Trooper was a game that my buddy's younger brother rented from Blockbuster once. Normally, we would ridicule his choices, but this time we actually had a lot of fun with it. If you want to pull up the cover, it's been remade. Peter, it's on PS4.
You're mistaken. We're looking at the blue guy to Rogue Trooper's right, like off his right arm. There's a little guy between the legs of another guy.
Oh, damn. I missed that. Holy like shit, there is.
Yeah, there's another little gremlin guy.
It's like the Led Zeppelin skeleton.
No. Yeah, kind of Led Zeppelin skeleton-y.
Looks like that.
Check out 1986 annual 2000 AD Light Years Ahead cover if you're interested in that. And if you don't want to look for it, you just want us to find it for you. If you're a Patreon, that'll be in Discord.
Man, this like Rogue Trooper box art though, like when you're like, there's a game for it, I was like, yeah, sure, there's a PlayStation game, whatever. Not a PlayStation 4 game. That's not what I was picturing.
It is the remake. We rented it on the first Xbox. As far as I recall.
This is a blue guy, jacked all hell, no shirt. And he's got a gun, he's got combat fatigues, he's got shoulder harnesses with grenades strapped to each one right above his bristling pecs. He does beg the question, why no shirt?
This guy is like if he lived on the Avatar planet but he had a really tiny linking tail and he was
this guy would rock a tactical kilt in public.
Yeah, this guy's got a lifted truck for sure.
Yeah.
And he doesn't use it for mudding. You know what I mean? He drives around the city with it. And he, like when he sees like people at a cafe or a bistro, he makes sure to like rev his engine extra loud. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. He has a tactical shoulder flashlight which he uses like when he really doesn't need to, you know.
So I guess to be fair, he doesn't like the original cover too. I'm like looking at it now. Yeah. They were like accurate to it, but it's
the Rogue Troopers are like a clone army. It's literally just an army of dudes who look exactly like.
You couldn't clone him a shirt? Jesus.
Damn. Why would you? If you could just all he needs is a gun and pants.
Yeah, like, clone him a pair of pants so he's, you know, right in the eyes of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Yeah. And then send him to war.
As if they couldn't just get those. They have to like, oh yeah, these are lab grown pants.
Dude, the only Jay-Z that created this guy is James Cameron.
Yeah.
Some would say he's more influential.
I was just gonna say, like, he's shirtless in both the original cover art and then on this PS4 game.
Yeah.
But it is not out of place for the 1986 action hero to be dressed like this, you know what I mean? And then to see it on a much more modern, you know, CG rendered box art for a PlayStation 4 game, it looks way more out of place and ridiculous. Hey, look, now
when you're doing an adaptation, you work with what you got,
right? I guess. Yeah,
that's it. I mean, the fans would be in uproar if they gave
pecs.
rogue guy or rogue trooper himself, John Rogue Trooper, in the woke reboot has a shirt on? I don't fucking think so, dude. Are you kidding me? Anyway, a little real life lore before we get into the fake life. 2000 AD was created by comics writer John Wagner and artist Carlos Esquerra. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. Wagner is a British writer born in Pennsylvania. And my condolences. And Esquerra was born in Spain. Both these men are still alive. So if you guys are still out there and listening, thank you. And crunch at us. 2000 AD was apparently chosen as the title since the publisher IPC only wanted it to be created to ride the hype wave of the comics in the 1970s. So it started in 1977. So basically they were just like, this isn't going to last. Give it a name about some fake year like the year 2000. And, like, no one's going to remember it after that.
Yeah. Y2K will have got us by then.
Yeah. Like they were planning for it. The preppers in the 70s were just like, we just need to get comics out before the internet dies. And they're like, what's the internet?
We're like, our very last episode had a world-ending event in 1999.
For
Lavos and Chrono Trigger, yeah.
Exactly. So, obviously, people did not forget about 2000 AD. At time of writing in 2023, 2000 AD has been published multiple thousands of times. And that's issues, basically. This is like a manga at this point. The source I found, I couldn't find a newer source. The source I found from 2012 stated over 2,200 issues had been published at that point. So it's doing well for itself, which is why I find it odd that they make one terrible Stallone movie and then one really good movie, and that's how most people know of it. Like, where are the thousands of people who are buying 2000 AD for 46 years, right?
Wow, yeah. So at first I thought you meant in total, that's how many they sold of a single copy, but no, they have 2,200 individual story little books. Comic books. Sorry, Darnell, I didn't mean to come off as diminutive there.
Little baby comic books for babies, Darnell.
I was surprised to find that he had not requested this one. I guess he's into different kinds of comics.
Oh, I guarantee you he's read every 2,200 of the
He at least knows about enough about it to put us all to shame, I'm sure.
Yeah. And he's gonna do it. Yeah. Get in the comments, Darnell.
Yeah.
Get in the comments, put us on blast.
One of the running jokes that the editors of the comic have had since probably the 70s and 80s is that the actual editor of 2000 AD is an alien named Tharg the Mighty. So they have like a fake editor. It's just like, well, what keeps it going? Basically, it's just like Tharg the Mighty is our editor as their explanation as to why it's lasted this long.
Yeah, that's funny.
So like I said before, we are going to focus on Judge Dredd himself and the state of the world that he finds himself in, or like how we get to this point, obviously, since he's the best known and the longest running character. Judge Dredd started in the second issue in 1977.
He says, I am the longest running character. His catchphrase.
I found a really good just two panels here if you guys want to bring this up and maybe play the characters, because it's just a fantastic little bit of writing here.
Good evening, citizen. Crime Blitz, says Judge Dredd. You should be the narrator. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Judge Dredd bursts into the apartment screaming, Crime Blitz.
Oh, no, sorry. The next panel has a narrated speech bubble that you're supposed to read.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, of course.
Okay, so start from the beginning. Let's start from the beginning. Theater of the mind.
Take it from the top. Okay. I got to get into character again. Sorry. I'm not normally a two-take kind of guy here.
Now introducing Ethan Palmer as Judge Dredd.
Okay. Yeah. Picture me bursting into a door. Good evening, citizen. Crime Blitz.
Under Mega City Criminal Code Section 59D, judges may enter any citizen's home at any time to carry out a routine intensive investigation.
This ain't fair! Man!
Everyone is guilty of something, Chubb.
Yeah. There we go. Just curse, dude. Don't say that. Just swear. So now, once again,
if you want to hear us do the entire book on all 2,000 episodes, that's in the Patreon. No, it's not. Don't see that.
So those are two tribes. Find out for yourself. Maybe I say they are there.
Jamie always tells the truth. Ethan always tells a lie. Who's telling the truth? What, you need to follow a link to our Patreon and pay us to find out.
I don't think that's how Knights of Knaves work. But.
No, me neither.
Whatever. Linked below. Knights of Knaves, linked below. This is funny. I didn't notice when I was writing this, but this is the second time we will start our adventure in 1999. So this is a big year for the Lore Boys episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, in 1999.
Time in a row. Who knows how many other times we've done it.
Yeah. I don't subscribe to Patreon to find out.
If you're honestly just the Lore Boys. Confused about anything, just subscribe to the Patreon.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do your taxes? Subscribe to the Patreon. We'll do them for you.
Wait, I don't even do my own taxes.
It's like, who the fuck are these people you're sending me? My dad does my taxes. Like, I don't know. So in 1999, a man named Eustace Fargo is born with his twin brother Ephraim on January 9th. And before you ask, yes, a lot of the names that are coming up here are completely fucking ridiculous. How someone writing a sci-fi cop comic is just like, what's a badass cop name? Eustace. Okay.
That's like a pretty cowboy name. I don't hate Eustace. I thought you were going to say...
Eustace Fargo?
That's very cowboy to me.
Mm. Ephraim's his brother.
Ephraim's pretty biblical. Yeah. But I could also see a cowboy being named Ephraim.
I guess Ephraim. So. I thought it was a weird one. Fargo's a good one.
I only know Ephraim's. I've never met an Ephraim. Only Ephraim.
I've never met either.
I don't think I've ever met either. But one of the lords, the main lords in Fire Emblem Sacred Stone is named Ephraim.
Oh. In the Philippines, I know. That's what all the Ephraims I know are in the Philippines. I wonder if it's like a name that the Spanish left behind or something.
Could be. Yeah.
Probably. Probably. The artist for this was Spanish, so it could have something to do with that. So Eustace got a degree in law, he was, from Harvard, got into politics, just like fucking everybody from Harvard, and then in 2027 was appointed government special prosecutor for street crime by
Wait. This is 2000 AD.
I know.
Why are we in 2027 AD already?
Fake year. Fake year.
Sorry. He gets appointed to Justice of the Peace.
Basically, yeah.
I remember the acronym, but I don't remember what you just said. I remember it's similar to German Shepherd.
Yes, it is GSPSC.
Okay, got it.
So that is kind of like German Shepherd, you're right.
Gorgeous, smiling person who cares. What yes, GSPC.
He sure was. Yeah. That's what cops are.
Oh my.
So he was appointed by then-president Thomas Gurney. And so the area at this point in 2027 between New York City and Washington, D.C. is a massive urban sprawl, which to me sounded worse than like the fucking like atomic wasteland we're going to get into later on. These sprawls would be formed eventually into large cities. New York to D.C. was established in 2032 and is called Megacity 1, which is the setting of the Dread films and was obviously the first megacity built in the United States.
Whoa, New York all the way to D.C. is one city?
Yeah.
Isn't that far?
It's not like... No. Not, I mean, it is far. It's far for a city. But like, it's not like... It's not like New York to California or
Los
something.
Los Angeles or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, wow. I don't know where D.C. is on a map.
It's four hours. So it'd be from like Montreal to Toronto.
Okay.
For your reference.
That's pretty big. Pretty big.
Or Montreal to like this side. An hour this side of Toronto.
Yeah.
Like to Whitby.
To Oshawa.
It is absolutely big for a city. It would swallow Philadelphia.
And imagine if all that was just paved. Like at least between Montreal and Toronto, there is essentially nothing except Kingston. Right?
Do they do it like the those idiots those fucking stupid idiots in charge of Saudi Arabia are planning on doing it with their line there? They're building a city that's just one big line.
Oh god.
let's just choose a design that's like that makes any two given points the furthest possible from each other. Yeah. It's just never convenient to get to where you need to go.
But you can get a lot of different ways to get to different points on that line, though. You just add different manipulations to the outside of the line. So it's like
there's nothing on the outside of the line, dude.
It's a straight line.
Just one line.
Well, you have to stay on the one road. You can't like take some bordering road and get in from the side so there's less traffic.
They'll probably
you want to take a side
that,
road at Line City? It's just like a different shorter line.
That's not in the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
As soon as you deviate from the line, you're it's getting longer, right?
Yeah.
But since So we have so much stuff packed on top of it, right? Like all of our locations that we're trying to get to are close to each other in a downtown center. But whenever it's a line, there's like the things that are needed are spread out. So people can get onto the line at different places, reducing traffic overall. I think these guys are right, man.
I was going
to say that. Jamie's on the side of the Saudis, it turns out. Yeah.
I'm line pilled.
This is super. Shut up. I mean, the whole Judge Dredd aesthetic is very reminiscent of the city of Kowloon outside of Hong Kong, which I think Pete, you watched the video that I shared a while back. But if you don't know what that is, look up Kowloon Walled City. It's like it's this a very cool history, and it is essentially this like hugely dense. It's essentially like a football field size or a soccer pitch size. And it's just like 14 stories high of like haphazard buildings all stacked on top of each other with like no roads, no nothing in between them. But just, yeah.
The like Peach Trees, which is the apartment block in Mega City 1 that Dredd the film is set entirely in, is like that taken to the extreme. It's a massive, massive building that like everything you need in your life is within one of these giant living towers, basically. So you just go to the... me, personally, I'm much more, whatever, giant apartment pilled. Because you can just go to the 6th floor, that's grocery floor, and then you can go to whatever, the 12th, and that's where you pick up your prescriptions, and then you go home on the 9th or whatever, and then you never see the sun or breathe a single molecule of fresh oxygen.
All these people driving in and out of the city, though, like, there's just not enough room, because all the locations are stacked. Where do you put the cars?
Who needs cars? Invest in public transit. You don't need cars.
Who are you talking to here? I'm the only one here without a car.
I just love that this is like from a societal point of view, I'm pretty, I guess if we're going with all the, if we're calling everything being pilled, I guess I'm public transit pilled these days. I'm PD pilled. it's like so funny that like and this happens so often in sci-fi where like, dense urban areas are always depicted as like this is like the bad thing in the future, when it's like no, high density areas can actually be like really nice. Look at Europe, they do it really really nicely, you know what I mean? Like, it's just American high density areas are shitty because we carve out so much room for cars, and like here's a building that is just parking spaces, you know what I mean? And it's like you have to walk to the other side of that if you want to get to the grocery store, which sucks. But
they're redoing the road outside, right outside my apartment, like 12 feet we talked about on the bonus from my window, and a part of that is they closed off half the road and all of the traffic was operating on half of the other half of the road. And I was like, imagine my lawn just jut out this far all the time, man. Like, imagine so nice. Like, yeah, I could just like,
you wouldn't even need to go across the street to the dog park.
No, yeah.
Your lawn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. There's a lot of space dedicated to cars for sure.
Invest properly in public transit and bikes. And then, you know, this high density urban area, this mega city one, is like a good thing. It's nice.
You can you imagine judges like bike cop judges? Where he's like peddling someone down, trying to shoot him with an explosive round. So he's got like the fucking spandex and the Airstream helmet.
Yeah.
Ethan was saying, I don't know how Lion City is going to turn out, but like Ethan was saying, as an urban sprawl, crime, specifically gang violence, is becoming a more pervasive and more violent problem in this concrete hellscape. So the president did the only reasonable thing in this situation, that was to create special cops who could do basically anything they wanted and get away with it. This was branded as instant justice.
All right.
So like, this is the creation of the proto judges. In the few years following this, armed gangs would eventually attack the White House itself, and through jury intimidation, managed to avoid jail time. So special prosecutor Fargo, Eustace, then proposed what he called the New Deal, giving him and his agents the power of judge, jury, and if need be, executioner.
Of course.
It's like, right. Hey, they intimidated the jury. I've got an idea. What if we protect those people and just prosecute people without a jury? It's like, I can save 12 lives that way. Absolutely.
It's a jury of your peer.
Exactly. Who is the bike judge with a gun? Stare you down.
They are the law.
Yeah. So the judges. Oh, excuse me. Where was I here? Since due process had failed, like I said, it was time to take a few rights away from people. So Congress, who notoriously are pussies who hate expanding the powers of law enforcement, actually refused to approve the new special agents. However, the anti-judge Congress people were all removed when President Gurney was reelected. The judge. Yeah, the system works.
Yeah, I would say for some.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The judges, as they're known, were first deployed in April of 2031, and at least in the beginning, only served as an upgraded police force. However, as we know in real life, in real life governments, of course, they really just add power to themselves a lot, and very infrequently are just like, I think we've prosecuted enough criminals without juries, right?
Yeah,
we're just gonna stop doing this now.
Someday, right?
But yeah, anyway, so obviously with this, you know, this exponential power, self-empowerment rather, only after a few years, the judges rivaled Congress itself. So at this point now, I don't, well, like, whatever.
I would say they're more powerful than Congress, because why doesn't the judge just be like, oh, that congressman's breaking the law?
Yeah, exactly. He's insider trading. I'm going to kill him on the Senate floor sort of thing.
Yeah, he's got his headphones in while he's biking, right? So. Got to kill him on the center floor.
Self-empowerment always like means like training or like bringing the lower higher or something like that. And self-empowerment never really meant judges with guns just get even more power to me. But yeah. But that's cool. Yeah, it is self-empowerment, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, hashtag girl boss.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Live, laugh, lower your weapons or I will shoot.
Yeah. That's good.
Thank you. Criminals who are arrested instead of executed would be sent to the ISO cubes, also set up by Chief Fargo, which are stackable solitary confinement cells. There's an image of them if you guys want from a Judge Dredd video game that I didn't know existed. Obviously, I was playing fucking Rogue Trooper instead.
Obviously. Was
way better.
I was walking downtown Montreal the other day and I saw
an ISO cube.
Basically, they were doing work on this building, but all the rooms, like, you could just see from the side, and it was all the rooms, and there was, like, construction workers in there. I was like, that would be a cool, like, futuristic prison-y thing. And here we are now.
Jamie really is on the side of the Saudis. He's just like, interesting place to imprison someone.
Yeah.
If only there's a straight line.
make them build me a line. The cells from the video game, they're very Lilo and Stitch, the prisons where the scientists who created Stitch is held. Like, just this wall with, like, one side is transparent, essentially. But it has these, like, different motivational slogans, like a hang in there kitty written in big, plain white letters. So, like, it has crime does not pay written on one of them. It's like,
can you imagine? The motivational slogans.
stuck in prison, like, crime does not pay. Thanks a lot, buddy. I'm already here. Like, what do you want? Like,
yeah, I know. I fucked it up. I get
it. The more I think of it, what is more civil than lining up? You know, like it's so much chaos being in a crowd. That's when crazy stuff.
Without the little velvet rope or whatever, like when it just happens organically and it's here's a thing that needs to happen. People just happen to line up. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's society working at its best.
And that's why you should build society in a line.
That's why every cop should be able to shoot people who skip the line.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Ethan. That's not going to end up in the Out of Context Quotes channel at all. So yeah, like Ethan was saying, they consist of the ISO cubes are, you know, four solid walls, one with a door so they can get the food in and out, and then obviously come in for scheduled beatings, presumably, whatever. The glass wall is for the guards to maintain constant suicide watch, as well as show the prisoners that they are always being monitored. This kind of prison is called a panopticon.
Panopticon, which is
a real-world theoretical thing made up by Jeremy Bentham, which we talked about on the Control episode.
I was going to say, we've talked about it before, I'm sure.
Yes. The panopticon's where they keep all the spooky objects in Control, in the oldest
sense. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is that just like... where a room where you can see everything from the middle of a room, you can see all the...
It's a prison specifically where the idea was that you can see all the prison cells at once, but the prisoners can't necessarily see into your guard station, so they never know when they're being watched. So it's like they're not going to commit crime when, you know, they think they might be getting watched. might be being watched or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
It's a psychological torture prison. I mean, I say that as those words are coming out of my mouth, it's like, Pete, it's kind of all they all are, really.
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess. It's a particularly creative one, I guess.
It is. Yeah. It's a very cheap one because the purpose of the Panopticon is just for one guard to keep an eye on all those dudes.
It's one of those things, though. It's such a fallacy, too, though, because I'm going to guess 6 out of 8 hours that a prison guard spends on duty is spent looking at porn on his phone, right?
What else has he got going on?
If you want to get into what's really happening in those, is that like those cops get tricked into doing one criminal act and then they're scared of being ratted on, or they're just fully corrupt, and a lot of this stuff just ends up happening. You can just get what you want in prison, actually.
It's almost like for-profit prisons is like a really weird idea, right?
Well, in the Panopticon, all you got to do is flash your shoulder light 3 times and they'll send you drugs around the circle, you know? They'll figure it out. But
yes, Chief Judge Fargo also waged secret political wars through a friend of his from Harvard named Marissa Pellegrino. One of the things I found funny about reading about corrupt sci-fi cops, like so corrupt in the sci-fi world, in the distant future of 2023, I'm just like, man, nothing ever changes. Like, they were writing about this shit was clearly happening decades ago, and it's just like, yeah, we just write about it. It's like, wow, this is bad. Hope we nothing changes.
How do we fix it?
Yeah.
How do we fix it, Beater?
Turns out newspapers are owned by big corporations too, huh?
Every single one of them. Yeah.
You're on this prison. Yeah. Peter was on a jury once. He must know how to fix. How do we fix the law? How do we do it?
That jury duty was very funny. Yeah.
Give sociopaths a gun and tell them they can go kill anyone they deem to be breaking the law.
I think that is correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the man I acquitted should have been shot on sight.
The name like Dread is also like, so it feels like it has a negative connotation, right? Like if you dread something, it's like,
exactly. Oh, it's like, D-R-E-D-D, though. It's just coincidence.
Okay.
Yeah.
It must be.
It's Dutch. It means flower.
I'm Judge Anxiety and Torture. I am the law.
Stanford Prison Experiment. I am the law.
What happened to Judge Flower, you know?
Yeah, I'm Judge Body Cam. I don't ever work, actually. I'm on leave.
Oh, my God.
No, I work sometimes, just never when crimes are happening.
Yeah. Body Cam's not evidence anyway. It doesn't matter. Just because you can see it. Finally, the last thing that he set up was the Psi Division in the 2040s. The second lead of Dread is, what's her name? Anderson. And she is a psychic judge. So there are psychic powers in this universe. And it was set up.
Is she on this comic book cover? Is she one of these freaks?
No. I mean, she may be the woman. I saw.
Is there a woman?
I think so. Maybe in a different picture I didn't save.
Sure.
I almost saved you guys a picture of a girl, but I knew it would excite you too much. We would just get off track.
So we're into focus.
No girls' pics in the boys' chat, okay?
Yeah.
Never. Of course, the Psi Division was set up as a subsidiary of the NSA, the real world government agency. However, in this case here, the NSA was experimenting on children as a way to give them psychic powers. So it's like MK.
So like, just like the real NSA.
Do they do that? They just spy on people, don't they?
Yeah, and give psychotropic drugs to children in the hopes of unlocking their psychic powers.
I mean, if you're going to do it...
Edward Snowden was just like, Obama read your emails, also your children are magic, and now he's hiding in Brazil or whatever.
The S stands for psychotropic.
If you're going to turn your kids into psychics, it's better to do it before they can remember, you know? Like, a circumcision would be so like, hard to go through when you're all grown up. So if you're going to blast them with psychic energy, do it when they're really young, you know?
And get a rabbi to do it while he's there.
Dude, yeah. Apparently, that's something that's got on the decline. Like, kids our age.
Circumcisions. Of course.
Psychic kids?
Of course. There was never any good reason for it.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you have religious reasons for it, like, that's your business. That's between your parents and God, not you. But
I think it's because our robot law overlords thought that it was to make sure that things stay clean, and you don't have to have that conversation with the general public. You know, it's like their armpits are going to get dirty, so just cut their arms off. You know,
they wouldn't still get dirty if you don't wash them, even if they're circumcised.
That's an executable crime. The real reason is
that people stopped eating cornflakes.
Oh, true. Look up John Kellogg's Wikipedia page if you want that whole background. Yeah.
We've talked about it on the show, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Join the Patreon if you want to talk about circumcision.
So, funnily enough, judges, it doesn't matter whether or not they had been blasted with psychic energy by a rabbi. Judges were intended to be celibate, so it did not matter what they were packing down there. Because a guy with zero pussy and zero accountability can be trusted out on the streets, of course.
And a blank check for taking heads.
For the law.
Oh, yeah, dude. Check
for the law.
No pussy and a blank check. Sign me up, baby.
JV just driving in a straight line in Saudi Arabia, shooting guns out of a Ferrari. However, Judge Fargo couldn't live up to his own standard, having a sexually intimate affair with the ridiculously named Sequenta Tells.
Okay, who does she tell?
Well, she tells Deputy Chief Judges Solomon and Goodman, actually.
Okay, there you go.
At the time, Miss Tells was the vice chair for the Commission of Legal Reform, and she's like, ow. What if we fuck these cops? Does that fix them? That's Laura Boy's canon, at least. Yeah. But they did get caught by Deputy Chiefs Solomon and Goodman, who were both willing to cover up the whole thing.
Okay, yeah. So they're like, oh, we'll just pretend like that never happened and keep the judges appear the virginal image of a judge.
Yeah, exactly. The stained glass image of a police officer we have up here holding the baby Jesus.
This feels like either... you know, some old science fiction written back in the day, just that wacky, or something Jordan Peterson is saying on the circuit today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it walks that fine line between like, this is something that Jordan Peterson, well, judges have to be celibate to do their job properly.
Yeah. He's been Xanax posting. There was like, happy birthday to the Muppet worm that lives in an apple on Sesame Street. And it's quote tweeted by Dr. Peterson. It just says, fuck you. It was like, he's just out of cab and whacked out of his gourd.
I thought you were going to say he just like retweeted that or tweeted that. I was like, hell yeah. Happy birthday to the, to the Muppet worm on Sesame Street.
Honestly, if he heals himself and stops talking all this crazy shit about celibate cops, then I'll be like, yeah, good. Like, everyone's got a path to redemption. But no, he is anti-birthday worm. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. If you cleaned your room, then you wouldn't have worms in your apples.
Yeah. He's like, I'm sure that apple's core is filthy and disorganized, judging its living conditions.
Should be circumcising little boys' rooms so they don't have to clean them.
Oh yeah, the government just rips the curtains down. They're like, that did it.
A moyle shows up and takes your curtains with a little special knife. He cuts your curtains off.
Oh no. I'm looking at my room. I can't circumcise my curtains. I'm right on the street here, man. No protection if my circumcised curtains.
Pete, artwork idea, huh?
Oh my god. Wait. I was just thinking of like the smallest little man to like 4'10. He needs a stool. He's like, oh, that.
He's in his late 70s.
Need to do the voice. Let's keep
going. Thank you. Oh my god. Judge Fargo, however, despite the fact the police offered to cover up the rules he invented and broke, he was so racked with guilt for nutting in November, he attempts suicide in 2051, but he left himself in a coma.
Ooh.
Solomon, seeing this as a chance to create a kind of a cop martyr, told the public that Fargo had been killed in a drive-by, justifying basically any expansion the judges could think of. Why waste a crisis?
Where's this guy driving down the line in a Ferrari just shooting guns out the window saying, no pussy in a blank check. I don't know what happened.
He needs to be stopped, but we just don't have the power to do it yet. The legal ability to stop him from doing it.
Man, yeah, it turns out we don't have any recourse for somebody who shoots a gun. That was a blind spot in the justice system. We didn't have a law for it.
Dude, yeah, exactly.
No intercourse, no recourse. Blue Lives Matter, dude.
Jesus Christ.
God. That's a good one.
Oh my God.
Put that on the sticker of the Thin Lore Boys line.
Oh yeah, back the boys. Jesus Christ.
You can't. Okay, never mind. Let's keep going. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what these people were expecting. It's like, oh man, the Lore Boys are doing an episode specifically about cops. Oh, this is going to be real great.
Oh no.
Yeah. So, Chief Fargo's recovery was slow, and after a long time of showing no signs of recovering, the deputy chiefs placed him in suspended animation like a pack of sea monkeys, so just he could just live forever. And they could also use his DNA for as long as they needed to create clones and a whole new breed of judge that we will get into after the break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for listening. The cloning operation that I alluded to before the break was headed by Judge Morton Judd, which is a very hard name for me to say. So by 2066, the first two clones were produced and accelerated to the age of 5 years old. These two would be twin clone brothers named Joseph and Rico Dredd. Joseph being our one and only Judge Dredd.
Right. Okay. They circumcise one and not the other. And I'll let you guys decide which one it is.
They're celibate. You'll never find out.
Yeah. No, the foreskin will just slow them down.
Like, I'll let you decide which one is which. And then, like, they both have their gun out. One has, like, no casing on the top of the pistol.
I was going to say that the one guy would have, like, a way too big, like, compensating gun.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
okay.
Oh, yeah. There he is.
They named one after Mary's cuck, and they named the other after, like, a crime act in the States.
Rico? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's... take down a politician. Mary's cuck. Yes.
That's how they took down the mobsters, too, right? It's like, Rico is like, you're able to...
And they did it in The Dark Knight.
And that's how they're doing it now with T-Dog, Trump Dog's, like, got Rico charges against him. It's the only way you make powerful people be accountable.
Yeah, well, it's racketeering and corruption, right? Yeah,
exactly. We're here. So after the cloning operation, it would proceed, obviously. Morton Judd would eventually go crazy and start talking about replacing American citizens with placid, law-abiding clones of themselves. This is the cop's dream, obviously.
Obviously.
But this was too far, even for a now reawakened Eustace Fargo. So he was like, you guys really took my no accountability and ran with it, didn't you? What the fuck is going on here? Which is like, oh, yeah, well, of course we did. And after a failed assassination attempt against Fargo, Judd would flee Mega City 1. So it's just, he's gone now.
Judd is he's not the two clones. Judd is, who's no, Judd?
Joseph and Rico. Judge Judd, obviously, is the chief scientist judge who spearheaded the cloning program, who created Judge Dredd and Judge Rico Dredd, Judge Dredd's brother, created by Judge Judd.
They're clones of Judge Judd, right?
They are clones of Judge Fargo, Chief Fargo.
Excuse me.
Okay. Yeah, he was in suspended animation.
They took his seed while he was in a coma.
They took his foreskin while they had, yeah. Exactly.
Took his curtains. Said,
like a magnetic prison, curtains, yeah. Like rotating like the sour ball from The Simpsons. the brothers.
It's like, do your curtains match your drapes? There's like no drapes.
Just a little cut at the top.
the curtain rod and the rings are still there. The Brothers Dread would go on to show their competence and qualities during the Atomic Wars of 2070. Much of this is maybe seem a little cliche at this point from like our perspective, but like we need to remember that 2000 AD started in 1977. So Mad Max and Fallout come afterwards, and like Fallout is openly referential to every like apocalyptic thing that came before it, right? Like it has reverence for this kind of stuff. Excuse me. The setup for the Atomic Wars was the election of 2060, where President Harvison and Vice President Robert Booth were elected in a landslide. Their campaign focused on anti-American sentiments from around the world. So very much, you know, bringing home America first shit.
We're running on a fire more nukes platform.
Basically. Vice President Booth claimed that many other countries were simply freeloading off the USA. I think the final image I have here is of President Booth. He looks exactly like you'd think.
Yep. They're still electing decrepit white men in the 2060s, huh?
I can't believe it. Yeah, well, he was elected recently from our perspective and is just still there.
Yeah.
Right? Decrepit white men. That would be a good name for like a ska band, right?
Decrepit white men.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty good. So this made the country's international partnerships even worse than you could imagine. They were already bad, but Booth, being the ex-governor of Texas, also rallied against coastal cities and their elites. Fucking changes.
Can I just say, do you know when this panel was printed? Because it looks older, I guess.
No, this was just the display picture for his page. I did not go to the source for this one. It is... Okay. It does look older. It may just be the color style, but it is weirdly prescient, depending on regardless how like much it's aged, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the I just typed 2128 into Google. Like that was going to hit me anything or yeah, give me any hints. This is 2019. Okay, yeah. So I was gonna say there's like some very Trump tones to what he was saying. Like his slogan seems to be "Take Back America," but this was post Trump presidency, so.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know, because, of course, researching and writing this, I was like, man, nothing changes. So I would have totally believed this was just from the past and just recycled into culture that way.
I just recently listened to, like, a comedy podcast on all of the U.S. presidents, and there's been I can't name them right now, but there's been presidents like Trump who kind of just, like, say what they mean or, like, say what's on their mind, like, instantly. Say they're looking out for at home. They kind of, like, just don't use politician speak. So then people are like, oh, well, you must be a good guy. I trust you.
Yeah, exactly.
Reagan did it. He was so – I mean, Reagan was also, like, handsome and an actor, so he got away with a lot of shit. But, yeah, it's very much, like – friend of the show, Ronald Reagan, a monster.
And the reason the market's about to crash again. So turns out Reaganomics doesn't work. Turns out just pulling all the money at the top doesn't help the people at the bottom. Who knew?
Over, actually.
Yeah.
Frag.
Now, the sensible thing to do with a man named Booth would be to keep him as far away from an American president as possible. But in 2068, this was apparently not a sensible time. Booth manipulated the election computers through the power of the 25th Amendment, the real American law that the vice president uses to become president, either if the president is dead or temporarily, like, out of commission. So I know, like, Richard Nixon or something was president for 80 minutes before he was actually president, because whoever he was serving under was, like, in surgery. And should the Russians attack while he's under the knife, they need a president active, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing I found funny about this was just like, oh, fuck, well, Mike Pence, turns out the vice president can manipulate the election. Looky here. Just to make himself president, I guess.
Yeah.
So over the course of 2070, U.S. forces began occupying various sites all around the world. This happens in real life constantly as well. But when the leaders of these sovereign nations protested, the now clearly insane President Booth threatened that he would nuke the entire planet if they didn't back off. The judges had been called to the White House and discussed how this was going, again, way too far, and they even suggested the judges waging a coup against President Booth. However, when they arrived, they found that all the White House staff had clearly had been murdered and dumped into the catfish pond.
All the whitefish had run away into the coral.
And as an aside, because I know they have like some neat trinkets, like some historical things over at the White House. They have like the Rose Garden is very historically famous. They have the Resolute Desk. I straight up was just like, is this just a cultural thing that I wasn't aware of? Do they have like a catfish pond that they just need to maintain? And I was just thinking of like Joe Biden in a bathrobe, ankle deep in a catfish pond, just like just kind of slowly sinking into the mud. They're sucking on my toes. It's just like a bunch of fucking slimy ass catfish. It's not a historical presidential thing. So like the Rose Garden or any of the other, any of the other kind of neat little things around the White House, they don't have a catfish pond.
What was canon? One of the presidents in dread between now and 2060 installs a catfish pond, right?
100%. Yeah, exactly. Especially because in the article, it refers to it as the catfish pond. And I was like, I guess if I read the comics, they would have been like, oh, thank you for taking me out to discuss quietly near the catfish pond or something. It's yes, of course, Judge Dredd, please pet a catfish.
When you think about it, too, being the vice president and invoking the 25th to install yourself as president is kind of catfishing the nation, right?
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, they should have seen this coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Booth was the first catfish. Like,
Booth ran as vice president with a picture of a sexy lady as his as the president, and then when she got elected, he was just like, oh, she's dead, I'm president now.
That's a good strat.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Yeah,
and all of the speaking events that he was supposed to go to, like the whole campaign trail, he kept just like canceling last minute. Essentially, whenever all the people were going to vote for him were like, "Hey, you want to meet up?" He was like, "Yeah, sure. I can't tonight."
I love the idea that someone on CNN just like texts candidates like, "Hey, you want to hang out tonight?" Like,
what's up, baby? You up?
Hey, Biden. Biden, you up? You up, gorgeous? Yeah. Biden. He's just like one eye closed in bed. So foreign leaders didn't respond in time. So at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Booth launched all of the U.S.'s nukes at every country around the world. Nuclear-armed countries responded in kind with their own weapons, which made it past the U.S.'s crumbling defense infrastructure. Only the anti-missile systems of the megacities functioned properly, meaning the rest of the continent was blasted into just a classico nuclear wasteland. Mm. So that's why in the film, everything outside the walls of the city is just desert wasteland. Yeah. It's because the only thing that still worked were the megacity AMS systems. It's pretty similar, I guess, the real-world analog would be like Israel's Iron Dome, like a hyper-advanced anti-rocket system.
Sure. Never mind.
Okay, sure.
The Iron Dome is like the ultimate defense to circumcision.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I heard you say Israel somewhere in there. Yeah. I'm like, wait, am I strangely racist for saying this? But I don't mean it that way. I'm like,
their AMS system.
You had it backwards. What they do? It's anti-missile system. So it's actually just like a giant cartoon arm with a little knife, and they circumcise the warhead off of the missiles as they're on their way in. They cut the warhead off.
Our nukes are more sensitive.
Because they saw this kid. It's like 5,000 nerds in the head of a warhead.
Yeah, like a regular warhead. It's like, oh no. the Germans are attacking. They're like coming down, and like the front of the warhead kind of peels back a bit. As it re-enters the atmosphere. So the following day, on June 13th, 2070, Dredd had to experience his first judicial killing when he had to kill a group of American soldiers who were trying to sexually assault a woman in Megacity 1. So he hadn't actually killed anybody until the judges were deployed in Megacity 1 post-nuclear attack.
Is this movie territory now?
No. We'll stop before movie territory.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
There's 2,000 comic books, Jamie.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Judge Dredd opening up on some guys who are treating a woman not right is a pretty good way to start the movie,
It is like a theme in Dredd, like the 2014 one or something, right? Like there is a woman that he's quote unquote protecting in that. It's been like 10 years since I've seen it. Probably.
No, Anderson's a rookie. It's her first day. He's not protecting her. He's constantly just like, call it rookie. And he like has her kill people for him.
Gotcha.
Because that's like her first kill is in that movie. Whereas his is thousands and thousands of debatably innocent men ago. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Eustace Fargo, who again, remember, is awake at this point, had told his judges that Booth had rigged the election and told them that this was cause enough to remove him from office, since rigging elections is illegal. Starting illegal wars against other countries on a whim is just like, well, I mean, we can't start arresting presidents for something like that, because then we'd have to arrest all of them. That'd be fucking ridiculous. We'll get him on this other thing.
What do you want me to do? Arrest George W. Bush? He's so quaint, an old man just painting at his farmhouse. Like, we can forget about the atrocities of the past. He's a president. Exactly. Come on.
Another one of those presidents from like a long, long time ago, he just like pissed someone off. I think it might have been Jackson. He like just pissed off the guy who counts the... someone who counts the votes in one of the states, and the guy just like made it swing the other way. He's like, threw out some votes, and he's like, I just don't like this guy. Fuck you. Yeah. So it's been going on forever, even into our dread future.
Yeah. Ever since man has had elections, right? There has been election fraud.
Yeah, exactly. And ever since circumcision, there's been erection fraud. Okay, I don't know. I'm stuck on this circumcision.
That's good. That's a good one.
Some of those circumcision guys, like, wish it was stuck on them too. We're stuck on the point. So Booth fled to a military base in the Rocky Mountains, but was eventually captured and sentenced to 100 years in suspended animation. Again, like sea monkeys. The thing that I don't know is I don't know how. What
are they conscient? Are they conscious?
That's the thing. So I couldn't find it. I don't know if you're conscious during suspended
animation.
Because
it's not really a prison sentence. If you just like wake up, like you go to bed, then you wake up 100 years later, you're like,
dude, it's so funny.
I feel so rested. Like,
it is like you have my script in front of you. Because I was like, well, what if...
That's the mind-body
problem.
I remember
about 8 hours I was fucking asleep. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the mind-body problem. If everything is like perfectly still, I think if you just believe your thoughts are the firing of neurons in your head, then you wouldn't think, right? Because your brain wouldn't be firing to think. Like, a thought is like an electrical process, you could argue.
Sure.
But mind-body problem, they do think there is something outside of the body. What is the spirit, the soul? And maybe the spirit, the soul, is
these hyper fascist like legal system that they set up here is like, oh, but the soul exists.
they're very
hippy dippy at the same time.
The one woo-woo California thing that made it through the whole process. Judge Dredd is just like, I am the law. But like, mistrial, whatever, like out in the street, he kills the wrong guy. And he's just like, oh, bad karma. Like,
Judge Dredd is running around just like icing homeless people, like in by the dozen. Yeah. And then like the one like politician is just like, oh, well, we're going to give him a much worse punishment. We're going to hurt his spirit.
Nobody's
conscious, not in like a tangible way, but we're gonna hurt him while he's sleeping. Okay, he's gonna have some bad dreams in there.
it's like he's going around, he's just like doing vibe checks on people, like out and executing people who have bad vibes. But it's funny, this is exactly like a point I already wrote, but I think lore boys canon, because again, I couldn't go to the primary sources, what with the 2500 issues of this there are, given a lot of the commentary they've done thus far, I wouldn't be surprised if you got to nap through suspended animation, because that would be commentary on the two-tier justice system, right? You've got like a drifter who gets executed in the street, but then you have the vice president who nuked the planet. It's just like, well, we can't get the president on that. That would be it's precedent.
Come on,
no bueno.
Yeah. We need to give him a slap on the wrist. I mean, he's sorry for what he did, guys.
Yeah. When he wakes up, we'll slap him on the other wrist. That's two.
He won't admit it, but he told me in private, like, he's really sorry for what he did, guys. So let's move on.
You slap him twice on the wrist and he cries twice. The two-tiered system.
Yeah.
So outside of the megacities, the world is obviously in ruin. Classic raiders and mutant armies run wild. There are mutant wars in the comics as well. And then the judges are all kind of desperately trying to maintain order in their own way, within the walls of the megacities. And that is 2000 AD. And Judge Dredd, again, thank you, Saucy, for the suggestion. And thank you, Martin, for backing it up. I had a lot of fun writing this one, and obviously we never miss a moment to make fun of the police. So I thought this was a really good time on this one. But yeah, I've been your host, Peter O'Donohue. You can find me at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. Thank you, everybody, who continues to send us messages or ask about the games we're playing, because now people ask about that on Instagram, too. If you want to have a bigger conversation with more than just one of us, Discord is linked below.
Discord.gg. Discord.gg/LOREBOYS. Lore Boys. It'll take you right in there. We're boosted up. We're living our best life. Get into our Discord server.
Come get a forklift and a bag of Sprite, and you'll be on your merry little way.
Yeah. Yep. Slap on the butt.
Mm-hmm. If you guys want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, which apparently we offer a whole bunch of stuff on there. We're gonna have to get set up now. Patreon.com/
Can we legally circumcise someone?
I think so.
They just got a side of paper, right? Yeah.
What are you, a cop? I don't know.
Yeah. you can get like ordained to do your buddy's wedding real quick, but I don't know about that other one.
The Church of Life ordained me to cut the tips of penises off. if you guys want to help the show, the best way to do so is to tell your friends or to leave us a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. It really does help the show continue to grow. And of course, if you don't trust Patreon, we do have Lore Boys Prime, the service that we've always offered. We're offering a very special service to everybody who signs up for Lore Boys Prime this week. We'll come and trim your curtains for you free of charge. Yeah, so it's a pretty simple service. The way it works is your boys are going to show up at your place, you know, have a couple beers for you, you know, just ready for you. We are going to put you in suspended animation for like a couple hours, but don't worry about what's going to happen when you're in suspended animation. Then it's just a quick snip, snip.
I got some good jokes.
Will be trimmed, you know.
I got some good jokes ready. Like once we put them in suspended animation, and obviously their souls in there, so they can see us. I'll bring up the big garden shears. I'll be like, just kidding.
I said, just kidding. Then I'll take out the tiniest little pruning shears, and they'll be like, get it. No, all our listeners have the big PP, right?
Sure. Whatever kind they like. Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah.
Crankle. I think
that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.